Thanks for checking out the Reveal Vineyard podcast. Our mission is simple. Find God, find others, find yourself. That's it. We hope through these conversations, your spirit will be stirred. For more information on Reveal, you can visit our website at www.revealvineyard.com.
Well, today, this morning, we are in part three in a four-part series called Pray. And we have been talking about four different prayers that the Apostle Paul actually prayed. And we're adding these prayers to our own prayer life because so many people know that they should pray more often and want to pray more often, but the reality is they sometimes don't know what they should be praying for. So we are learning four new things to be praying and to be adding to our prayer life. In week one, Pastor Marty spoke and taught about praying for more power so that Christ may dwell within you. And last week, one of our youth leaders, Steve Edmonds, he did an excellent job in teaching that we need to be more committed to pray, that we'd be more active in sharing our faith so that we would have the full understanding of all of the good things that we have in Christ. And if you haven't heard either of those messages, I would just encourage you to go over to revealvineyard.com and you can listen to them on podcasts. So today, we're going to look at another prayer that the Apostle Paul prayed. And this prayer is very similar to another prayer that Jesus prayed. So my thinking is, if the Apostle Paul prayed it, and if Jesus prayed it, then I certainly want to pray it as well. The contents of today's message is on unity. Both prayers are around unity. And unity in the family of God, which would be all of us here right now in the church family, and then as well as unity in the body of Christ, and that would be Reveal Church and other Bible-believing, Christian-believing, Jesus-believing churches coming together in the body of Christ. Because unfortunately in the world, Christians are not the most unified people. Would you agree? Well, in my 18-plus years that I've been in ministry, I have seen churches and their members to be divided and split because of their lack of unity. And I just want to say that nothing good ever comes of this. No one wins. There's not a winner. There's no sides. It doesn't matter. It's never a good thing. And I believe with all my heart that we have a spiritual enemy, that he is just... his greatest scheme is just to divide the church, to divide the body of Christ. Because when we are united, we are unstoppable of the things that we can do for the glory of God on this earth. I mean, God's intent for the church, it's beautiful. And when the church comes together in unity, it's so powerful. It's so effective. I have seen it time and time again. And when we're divided, though, we're weakened, we're deluded, and we're ineffective to the things that God wants to do through us. So today, I want us to look at a few of Paul's prayers, and he addresses the very important theme of the family of God being unified. And if you have a Bible, and if you want to open it up and turn to Romans 15, we'll go through verses 5 through 7, and it is on the screen as well. And I will read it in verse 5. This is Paul's prayer. He says, "May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you the same attitude of mind towards each other that Christ Jesus had, so that with one mind and one voice that you may glorify God and our Father of the Lord Jesus Christ. Accept one another, then, just as Christ accepted you in order to bring praise to God." Now, if you want to glorify God, if you want to bring praise to God, what we need to do is we need to treat one another as Christ treats us, as he treats you. We need to love one another as Christ loves us. We need to accept one another as Jesus accepts us. And this is the prayer of Paul. Now, prayers Paul, like I said earlier, is consistent with one that Jesus prayed. And that prayer is in John 17, verses 20 through 23, and Jesus says, I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world will know that you sent me and love them even as you loved me. You see, Paul prayed for unity. Jesus prayed for unity so that God would be glorified and the world would know that God sent Jesus to reach the lost and broken, and that we, the church family, the family of God, would be unified, because that is the way the world will know the love of Christ, when we are unified. Well, this morning, I want to give you three reasons that we should pray for unity. And the first reason that we pray for unity is because we desperately need one another. We desperately need each other in the family of God. And Paul says it this way in Romans 12, 4 through 5. He said, just as our bodies have many parts and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are all parts of his one body, and each of us has different work to do. And since we are all one body in Christ, we belong to each other, and each of us needs all others. Paul said, we, meaning Jesus' followers, are many parts, one body. The body of Christ is what he is talking about. You see, this body of Christ goes beyond Reveal Church. It goes on to CCV or Compass or Radiant or Ridgeline or any church around the world in our community. As a matter of fact, in November, we're going to be connecting with a few of the different local churches and do a day that we do a whole outreach as the body of Christ. And you know, one thing you need to understand about unity, though, it does not mean uniformity. The Merriam-Webster's dictionary's description for uniformity is the quality or the state of being the same in form, manner, appearance, or degree. You see, we need to embrace the fact that we actually have strengths in our differences, and it's our differences that give us the ability to reach many, many different people. You know, can I just be honest with you in saying that we need to stop comparing or pointing out our differences, and we need to stop judging the differences in one another, and we need to stop comparing ourselves to one another. Because honestly, really, who cares what you're not like? Just be what you are. Be exactly what you are. You know, you are God's masterpiece by design. He has created you, each and individually. He has created us. He didn't leave anything out. He didn't forget anything. And he surely did not make a mistake. You know, you are his design, and he created you to be in his image. You know, it's the same thing with the different ministries here at Reveal Church. We have many ministries, but they have different effects. You know, each one of them ministers in a different way, and they minister and they effectively minister, to different people inside and outside of Reveal. And not any one is better than the other, or more valuable than the other, or less than the other, or greater than the other. As a matter of fact, God doesn't favor any ministry over the other. However, what they are is together, they are what makes Reveal Church Reveal. And when we work together in unity as the family of Reveal, when all of our ministry areas are effectively working in the areas that they serve, the kingdom of God wins and God receives the glory. You know, it's so much bigger than you and I, yet it takes you and I together to function in unity to complete the purpose that God has for Reveal Church. So, if our family is going to fight, We need to fight for the right things. We need to fight for the kingdom things, which are the lost and the broken. And we need to look at one another, and we need to think of one another in the best possible ways. As a matter of fact, one of my life verses is 1 Corinthians 13:7, out of the Amplified Translation, where it says that love always sees the best in one another. It's a struggle that I have, so I've made it my life verse because I know it's my struggle. And God has done amazing things when you see and think the best of one another. It's the 1 Corinthians 13:7 concept. That's what love does. Well, the second reason that we pray for unity is because the world will see God's love. When we are unified as the family of God, they see demonstrated the active, passionate love of Jesus and his family. In fact, I love the imagery in Romans 15:7, when Paul says, "Therefore, accept each other just as Christ has accepted you, so that God will receive the glory." The Greek word used here for accept is proslambano. It's a very picturesque word. It's a beautiful word. It carries the imagery with it that when you accept someone, it's as if you receive them into your arms and you embrace them. Then the word carries an idea of you taking someone by the hand and walking with them as a companion. So when you accept someone like Christ has accepted you, and how did Christ accept us? While we're still sinners, Christ accepted us. Before we agreed, Christ accepted us. Before we were perfect, which we are still not perfect, Christ accepted us, though. Before we had it all together, he accepted us. We are to accept other followers in the same way that Christ accepted us. While we are still sinners, he accepted us. And you know what? We're still sinners. And he's still accepting us. He's accepting me every morning. It's a new day. And I need your help, Lord. And there he is. You know, we may be different, and we may have different focuses, and we may have different emphases in life, and we may have different styles. But when we accept one another, hand in hand, we walk together, and we embrace one another. Together, we embrace one another's differences. And when we do this, then our reputation to the world will change. You see, our reputation as the church needs to change. The reputation of the church is horrible. Christians everywhere are known for what they're against. Are they not? Oh, they're against this. They're against that. Oh, and over there. Oh, yeah. Them? They're totally against them. And that, yes, of course they're against that. You know, we need to change this. Instead of being known what we're against, we need to be known for what we are for. And what we are for is that we are for people experiencing the same grace and love that Jesus has given us that we have experienced. When we love and when we accept one another, others will see the love of God. And that is exactly what Paul and Jesus, that they're talking about in these prayers. This is what we need to be praying. In fact, Jesus couldn't have said it more clear than he did in John 13:34-35. He said, "So, now I am giving you a new commandment. Would you just love each other? Just as I loved you?" He's like, come on, it's not that hard. You didn't earn it, I just gave it. You should love each other. And then listen to verse 35. It is key. This is it. He says, "Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples." I'm like, hello? That is us he's talking to. And what does a disciple do? A disciple does what the teacher does. You ever discipled anyone? Have you ever been discipled? You mimic the teacher. Well, there's only one description of how the world will know that we are disciples of Jesus in the whole Bible. And you know what it is? It's if we love one another. Verse 35, if you love one another, they will know. So that is why we pray. That is why we believe that God hears and answers our prayers. We believe our prayers matter. And we know if we would just humble ourselves, if we would repent from our sins, And if we would seek God and pray, he hears and answers our prayers. In week one, Pastor Marty challenged our prayers. As a matter of fact, he said, we don't pray small, general prayers. No, we're going to pray big, specific, faith-filled, passionate prayers. It's going to take faith to pray for a church to be united, that God would unify his church, and that we would stand together as his family of God. The third reason that we pray for unity is because with unity, we can do infinitely more together. We believe the local church is the hope of the world, and that we can do infinitely more together than we can do when we are apart. This was the heartbeat and the attitude of the first century church. This is what made the first century church thrive. You see, think about it. What did they have? Well, I know what they didn't have. They didn't have buildings. They didn't have a television ministry. They didn't have fundraisers that they needed to raise funds to send their kids off to camp. They didn't have any special building campaigns to be always building bigger and better. And what did they have against them? Massive persecution. You see, they didn't have people that were just tweeting or Facebooking bad things about their pastors. They were taking the lives in droves of all of those who said, we believe that Jesus has risen from the dead. Yet this little band of non-educated, first century, passionate followers of Jesus spread the gospel all around the world. And I want to show you how it's described in Acts 4, verse 32. Luke describes it this way. He said that all the believers were one. All the believers were one. Not just a few of the believers, not just some of the believers, but all the believers were one. You know what the Greek word for all is? All. It's like the easiest Greek word to be able to pronounce. No, it's not. But all the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed any of their possessions, but they shared everything that they had. And let me tell you, that is commitment in the family of Jesus unlike anything I've rarely ever seen or yet ever even lived myself. These crazy people loved God, and they loved the people so much that they would actually take all of their possessions, they would sell the possessions, and then they would take the money and they'd give it to the church or to the leaders. Well, you don't have to give me anything. And then they'd say, you disperse it. You see fit. And then whenever there was a need, the leaders or the church would provide the needs. Let me tell you the results of this crazy kind of unified love. It's in Acts 4, 33 through 34. It says, God's grace was so powerfully at work in them all that there were no needy persons among them. Do you see that power in that kind of community? There were no needy persons. Every need was met by God through the family of God when they didn't see themselves as individual Christians, but as a family, as a part of a body that needs each other. It's like that, they just wanted to demonstrate the love of God to one another. You know, this last Friday, I was on the phone with a lady from our church, and she was telling me that another family in our church had just recently had a baby, and that she and another gal, and the other gal is a non-church lady, meaning she doesn't attend Reveal or any other church, they got together and made 5 days worth of food for this family who just had their baby. Lunches and dinners, these two ladies. And then she went on to tell me that there was another lady that showed up on the scene when the mama went into labor and took their little girl and took her home and cared for her and had her stay the night. And the story doesn't end there, because then apparently there's another crazy in love lady in the Reveal, who I heard through this lady that has been making dinners for this family for over a month. Because you see, this mom has been having some difficulties. But this crazy band of women, I don't know if they each knew each other was doing what they were doing, got together and were the hands and feet of Jesus to this family. When I got off the phone, my heart was just filled with seeing the love of Jesus. You see, I have no problem standing here all day long and arguing that the world is sick and tired of hearing about the love of Jesus. They want to see it. They want to see it. And how are they ever going to see the love of Jesus? They'll see it when we love one another. You know, this is not a benefits me prayer. This is a prayer for our family of God. So we as a church, we pray. We pray with power, and we pray that we'll be active in sharing our faith. And we pray for the unity in the family of God so that God would be glorified and that the people will know that God sent Jesus. What would happen? Just entertain me for a few minutes. I love to be entertained. Just think about this. If the whole body of Christ, beyond Reveal, the whole body of Christ was unified. They all came together. Billions of believers, every city, every village, every tribe, every nation all around the world, if we stood together and said, what we have exists for the glory of God, what do you think we could do together? I'm thinking starting tomorrow, Monday, that starvation could be eliminated around the world. Tuesday, every person would have clean drinking water who doesn't even have water right now. By Wednesday, poverty wouldn't even exist. Thursday, everyone with a medical need, their needs would be met. Friday, all the orphans would be in a loving, caring family. And then Saturday, every person alive would have heard or seen the love of Jesus. And then next Sunday, we could all gather back together again, and we could worship and take a break from our busyness, but come together as the body of Christ and worship our Savior. Because it would be one name that we're serving, and it would be one God that we're serving, and it could be with one purpose that we're serving, and it is to bring the love and His grace to the world. You know, God has given each of us a mission field, and all He asks us to do is to steward it well. You know, I've seen a few glimpses of these things that I just talked about. I saw them take place recently. Last month, I was on a missions trip in Honduras. And not only were we on a missions trip, but we are also putting on a conference for the 11 Vineyard churches that are in Honduras. And I was on a team of 18. There's a few who went with me from Reveal. And then the rest of them were from our Vineyard Church out in Glendale. And actually, that church is the church that we planted out of. Our team was on a whirlwind trip. Our itinerary was packed full. We were ministering in several locations in one day. And it was a nonstop 10-day trip. And it was a culture that we're not accustomed to and in conditions that some of us have never experienced. And there were long travel days. And we were fatigued and we were just exhausted. Our bodies were tired. And it was so hot. I mean, 98% humidity. I am a native to Arizona and I have never sweat like I sweat in Honduras. I'm like, where is this coming from? Like my eyebrows, I just won't go into it, but just trust me. It was so hot. But cracks started forming among a few on our team. And it didn't take long before little groups started forming. Our team was being affected by the ripples. And it was morning and night that I would start receiving knocks on my door from different people saying, "This just took place. This just happened. Can you believe it? So-and-so said this. So-and-so's offended about this. You know, we need you to come pray for so-and-so." And by the fourth morning, I had had enough. So when my roommate woke, she and I got together and we prayed and we sought out God and we decided that we would confront the team at breakfast. So as we are on our way to our door to leave our room, the morning knocks had already started. And we went downstairs and the whole team was gathered for breakfast. And I'm just going to tell you that I just had a coming to Jesus talk with them, if you know what I mean. Very sweet, very gracious and kind and gentle. But I told them, we need to pull it together. If you have an offense against someone on this team, you need to go to them and you need to work it out. You need to make things right. There will be no more talking about your problems with your among your chosen few. Because right now, everyone is being affected. You see, we can't be effective in what God has for us to do if we're not unified as a team right now. With all this going on, it's weakening us. And I will not tolerate this anymore because God has way too much more for us to be doing. And we can't do his work in the state that our team is in right now. I said, we need to stay focused. Don't let the enemy win. We are not the enemy. So I said, you know, the bus is going to be leaving here in a few minutes. And it's a new day. So you need to work out whatever you need to work out. And then you need to get on the bus. Anyone know that old Vineyard song? God's on the move. Get on the bus. Okay, no, that's aging me. That's okay. It's in my mind right now. It'll probably be there for a few days. But you know what? We pulled it together as a team, and God blew our minds in all that he did because we were working and functioning as a unified team, and we were participating in the movement of the Holy Spirit. And let me just give you a glimpse of some of the things that were taking place. We were in a Vineyard church in Cacao, Honduras, and it's down by the Caribbean Sea. Sounds like another song. And we were in worship, and we were at a church, a Vineyard church out there, and I was going to give the message. And so I was in worship. Our team was leading worship, and I was just getting myself prepared and seeing what the Holy Spirit wanted to do. And I felt the Holy Spirit speak to me, and he says, "Rhonda, I want you to tell your story to the women here." I'm like, okay. And he started showing me the women. My eyes were closed in my mind's eye of all the women in attendance. And he says, "I want you to tell them what it felt like when you came to know the Lord years before your husband came and how you would attend church on Sunday after Sunday after Sunday and you would pray for your husband's salvation. And now today he sits here and watches you preach." And I said, "Okay." And I looked up and I looked around the church and it was filled with women. And I was just a wreck. And I pulled myself together and I went and gave the message. And it was about hope and encouragement. I actually gave the message here before it was on Daniel 10. And when we led them into ministry time, I shared with them what I felt the Lord spoke to me. And this church got up and came forward. And it was so beautiful to get to minister to these women and to see what God was doing. And we left them there. We left them literally in the hands of Jesus. And he was just loving on them. And then we had some physical healings that took place and more words and visions. It was so beautiful. Well, then we had the opportunity to minister in another village. And we were told by the pastor of this vineyard, a different Vineyard church in another village, that they were to prepare for 25 kids, that we were going to do an outreach. So our team showed up to this village, and we went around, and we passed out rice and beans, and we prayed for the people. And then we told them, we're going to have an event at this church today, and we'd love for you to come send your children. So the children showed up, and I'm sitting there counting, and I'm like, 25, 30, 35, 40, 45, you know, and it's going on. I'm like, oh my gosh. I go to our outreach lady and I said, how many kids did you bring? And she said, 25, like the pastor asked. And you know, I'm getting anxious. I'm freaking out because I'm like, every kid has to have a gift, you know, when they leave. So I went to my backpack, and in my backpack, I had all these gifts that I bring personally to give out to the children in the villages because I really want them to like me. So when I see the kids, I got to give them gifts. You know what I mean? I'm serious. I'm being honest. And I tried to blame it on the Americans in last service, but it's true. I'll own it. I'm like, oh my gosh, I want you to like me. Here's a jump rope. You know? And then I jump with them, and I'm older than them a little bit. But anyways, so I gathered all my things that I had, and I'm giving them to the outreach lady, and you know, and we're counting them, and there's clearly not enough. So we did the service, we did arts and crafts and skits, and 9 children received Christ that day. And then when they're all lining up, the lady was giving out things as each child went by. And I'm looking around, I'm like, oh my gosh, this isn't going to happen. And then I remembered I have these gym cross rings for teenagers. We're going to a teenage home. And I said, oh, I have those with me. So I went and got them out, and I'm passing them out to the teenagers. And I'm like, there's no way do I have enough of these to give out. Well, as it happened, I did have enough for every teenage girl that was there, so I was thrilled to death. And not only that, as I watched the last child come through, the lady reached in the bag and had one left gift for that child. So what seemed humanly impossible, our God says possible. You know what I mean? And then I get a spanking. I hear, oh, you of little faith. I'm like, you got that right. You know, I'm sorry. You know, I just can't have a little kid crying and not getting something. But then it gets better. I stand there and I look around the room to see what's happening. And I see this young teenage girl with special needs. And I'm like, oh my goodness, I need to give her a gift, you know? But I gave out all these cool rings. And so I am like, giving myself the pat down, checking every, like, you know, cargo pant pocket. There are tons on cargo pants. But anyways, I get to this pocket and I feel something. I'm like, what is that? I reach my hand in and there's one ring in my pocket. I kid you not. So it was so exciting to go give that to that girl and put it on her finger. And she's just, you know, lit up, happy that she received it. Well, then we went to the pastor's conference in Tegucigalpa, Honduras. Craziest airport ever, I'll just say. Yikes. Anyways, we were there and we were in worship and my knee started hurting. And I'm like, oh, dude, this isn't about me. Someone is going to get their knee healed, you know, and I'm all excited. I'm feeling all confident and, you know, all right, Lord, let's do this. You know, I'm just the whole time, what are you doing, Holy Spirit? I'm going to find you and we're going to, you know, we're going to minister. And I'm like, so, you know, we're going to pray for someone's knee during ministry time. And then all of a sudden my knee started tingling and my kneecaps moving around. And I'm like, oh, specific knee, huh? Great. You know, I was okay saying a knee, but now you want to say a left knee. And I'm like, oh, I'll go see a left knee. So I go up during ministry time and I'm like, someone, you know, I have an interpreter with me, of course. And I'm like, someone's knee is going to get healed and it's their left knee. And no one came. I'm like, I knew it was just any knee. I should have said the right knee, you know. But, you know, that's me. Am I crazy? And I said, let's ask again. So the interpreter says, you know, the left knee. Well, here comes this pastor. He comes down, and the darndest thing, he got healed. We prayed for him. We felt the tendon moving. We felt the kneecap move. It was so awesome. Well, then later it got back to me that this pastor was one of the pastors who played soccer with us last year when we were there and kicked our butts. So I was like, Lord, take that healing back, you know. I just wasted a good healing as if I did it, which I know I didn't. So don't send me an email because I know it's not about me. It's about the Holy Spirit and what he's doing. So then I'm walking through, you know, everyone, because I'm like, what are you doing? We are going to get down and get to business. You know, I am believing that God is here. The Holy Spirit's here. And I walk by this person and the closer I'm getting, and I don't know it's for this person, my chest is hurting. And I'm like, what in the heck is going on? And I go past the person and I can't breathe. Like my breath is gone. And I stop and I turn and I see the overseer of the Costa Rica vineyards praying for this other pastor guy. And I said, do you speak English? What a dumb question. Of course not. A little. No, you don't. Just say you don't. And I said, well, I think he needs, you know, what's happening here? What are you praying? He doesn't understand any, he's going, blah, 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 is what he's hearing. And I just reach out and I touch the guy and I just claim healing over his shoulder. My chest stops hurting. I feel the presence of the Spirit coming out of me. I feel his shoulder moving and going back in place. And this guy, I think he's like a baseball player now. He is like swinging and he's just smiling. He's so happy. And I'm just like, praise God. You know, so I walk away and I turn and I'm walking by and I'm, see this other guy. And I go over to touch him. And the interpreter says, he's been waiting for you. And I'm like, what's his need? And he just falls down. And I have his hips and I fall down with him. And I'm just speaking to his hips. He has kidney stones. Stands up, walks out. He's healed. Those are the great things that God does and that you get to be a part of when we watch the promptings of the Holy Spirit and we're aware of it. A few weeks ago, you know what? This continued throughout our whole trip, by the way. And we went to village, and we got to feed the poor, and we got to love on those kids. And of course, I had more loot in my hotel room. So of course, I had more, you know, now I have all these kids loving me in Honduras. So I guess I'm going to have to go back again. But I'm okay with that. You know, it's like, we just wanted to do whatever the Spirit was doing. And our team was unified. And let me tell you about those crazy bus rides home every night. We were like just praising and glorifying what God was doing. Anyways, I tell you this story because we as a staff here, we believe that there are greater things ahead of us at Reveal Church. You know, greater kingdom works for our church to do. And I share this story as a testimony, as an encouragement to let you see that the Holy Spirit is moving and he is working and he is capable of doing way more than what he just did through this simple native Arizona curly-haired girl. He has something for all of us, but he even has more power when we're together in unity and doing it, you know, to bring him glory and praise and so the world would see what he is doing and that he loves them. Well, we have some opportunities here and now in Kingdom Works that need you. And I shared with you earlier in our bulletin about our resource room. Well, we need help. It's going to take all of us to supply two of those rooms. And we'll be hosting an annual Reveal baptism here shortly in a few weeks. And you know what? We have a place in our bulletin that needs volunteers to help make that thing happen. And, you know, we'll be promoting new regroups August 1st. You'll be seeing them being promoted for the whole month of August. And then in 1st of September, all of our groups will be kicking off. And this is a great place to go where you can learn or meet people and grow in community. You can grow spiritually. You can grow in your gifts. And it's just safe. It's a safe place. And then, of course, we have our meals ministry. Oh, my goodness. It is so busy, busier than ever right now. We have many needs. We need to answer the call of helps, period. Thank you very much. You know, for months, the staff, we were praying and planning before we rolled out two services, how that was going to look. What was the vision? What was the plan? And one of the things that we stuck to is serve one, attend one, or attend one, serve one. You know, and it means that you're serving right here in second service. You're attending in second service right now. I hope you are serving in first service. There's a place for everyone to play. That is the vineyard way. Just like each person that we prayed for who got healed, we said, okay, now you go pray for someone else because what you get, you give. Amen. I heard that. Thank you. This is fully participating in the Acts Church, and we need you, and we need each other to make Reveal Church to be the church that God wants us to be. We are the church. So here's my question today, is what's stopping you? What's stopping you from getting in unity and accepting your call in unity? Some of us have hurts or offenses. We have hurts from past churches. I get it. I get it. But I don't know what it is with you, but I know that that's something that's between you and God. And I want to end this morning with putting our prayers into practice. I want to spend a few minutes of self-reflection through the prompting of the Holy Spirit. We're going to quiet the room and ourselves and wait on the Holy Spirit to move. And we're going to be guided through a few slides that will lead us through a scripture to pray as well as a response prayer to pray. Now listen, no one's going to be reading the response prayer to you. It's three slides. It's something for you to read to yourself. And it's first going to start out with the Psalms 139. And I encourage you, if you don't already use this psalm in your morning prayer time, I encourage you to write it down and use it daily to pray to God. Because praying scripture, there's so much power in it. There's so much power in it. And the Psalms prayer should be coming up on the screen. Thank you. And then we are just going to dim the lights, and we're going to ask for the Holy Spirit to come, and we're going to wrap it up quicker than we did last service. We might go over a few minutes. I'm okay with that. But we're going to have a time of communion. Thank you. So when the band starts playing, that's going to indicate your invitation to come up and receive communion. And I want you to take communion as a remembrance of what God is going to be stirring in you and the business that you guys are going to be doing together. And mark this day as a new day and receive that. So if we could have the band make its way up here, I'm going to invite the Holy Spirit. And this is your prayer of scripture. And then the next three slides will come. Andrew, 1 minute each on those slides, and we'll wrap it up. So, Father God, we invite you. We cannot wait to experience you. We ask for your Holy Spirit to come. Friends, I just ask that you prepare yourself to receive. If it's standing, sitting, kneeling, or coming forward, you are welcome. But, Father God, I ask that you would meet each one of my friends where they are at right now, that you would move and stir in them all that you want to do, Father God, because your word tells us that it's your heart for us to be unified together. And that's our new prayer, is your prayers. So what does that look like, Father? Come and speak to our hearts.